chapter. Chapter 49. And that 13th verse says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful. O earth, break forth into singing. O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted." And I told you the other night, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Man is saved by the grace of God. If he's not careful, when he trials and troubles will come, and when they come, sometimes if he's not watchful and alert and careful and walking with the Lord, he'll feel these sharp pricks to his conscience, and he'll question the Lord and wonder why these things happen to me, and he becomes distressful and worried, anxious, and his mind is not at peace, and he might even come to the place where he'll say, "The Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me." He may even get to that frame of mind. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. They think the warfare is over once we see and know who God is in Christ, accomplished our redemption, it's all done, it's forever settled. But the warfare comes, and loved one dies, loved one gets sick, friends that once were friendly are not friendly no more, lose their job, can't pay our bills, things of that nature. And say, "The Lord hath forgotten me. He's forgotten me. He's forsaken me." Well, but Zion said, the Lord said some things. He said, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. Break forth unto singing, the mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted." But Zion said, Zion is another name for the people of God and the church of God, Zion. But his people said, "The Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me." So I'm afraid that the Lord has forgotten me, forsaken me, and my mind and my soul, my heart is pained within me with these thoughts. Lord's forsaken me. This and this has taken place. This has happened to me. My reputation's been destroyed. My character's been attacked. I'm poor. I can't meet my bills. So forth. So, man gets upset with the thoughts. And, of course, the devil, which is man's chief enemy. And he's always there to prod and probe and suggest and create doubts and fears and so forth, and make us unreliable. But all of these things that to a believer is the afflictions of the righteous. They're godly sorrows. They're righteous troubles we have. And I think I've found the answer to this in the next verse. Verse 15. This is the answer. Can a woman forget her sucking child? That's the child that's still on her breast, being nourished by our mother. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. This is the answer. Now you look and imagine, if you will, look at that woman that he refers to here. Look at that woman with her smiling, cheerful, happy little baby at her breast. And notice how delighted this mother is with this baby. Number one, what gives her delight, and what peace that comes over her in this environment here? She looks upon this child as the child nourishes, receives nourishment for its little body from her. She knows that this baby is a part of herself. It came from her. Will a mother forget her sucking child? She looks down on this innocent looking baby, smiles in her heart and rejoices. It's part of herself. She bore it with pains. There was birth pain, like no other pain. She bore it with pains and brought it into the world with labor. Its innocent look, though it's not innocent, but it's innocent to Mama. She looks at its innocence and its helpless cry. And this look in this sweet baby calls for her tender affection. Can she forget this baby that came forth from her? This helpless baby that depends upon her? Can she forget it? Can she refused to show compassion to this baby that lays here upon her breast being nourished? Can she refuse to administer to this baby's needs and this baby's wants? Can she do that? This baby needs her to preserve her from danger. This dear child, this son of her womb, can she forget him? Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Oh, I tell you, is it possible? Is that possible for a woman to? Well, this, I think, is a picture or an image in nature when he talks about the woman. Can Can a woman do this? Can a woman do that? Can a woman forget? Can a woman not help this one that's part of herself? Is it possible for her to do that? Well, I say this is a picture or an image in nature which touches one with the most tender affection, this little baby, innocent as it appears to be on its mother's breast. Well, it sets forth the love and care of the Lord to His people. That there's a lesson here that indicates how strong and how great the love of Almighty God is to His children, all of His children, all of them that have been birthed by God, that came out from God. How great His love is for them. But as strong as this image that's painted here is, it fails. There have been such monsters, we would call them, in nature, who have had not compassion on their suckling child, on the offspring of their womb. There's been some in this life, monsters they must be, to look upon this little helpless babe on their breast and forget her and forsake her and not have compassion. Well, in light of that, nature is so weak. And our Father in heaven, He knows the fear and weakness of our natures. The Father of love and the friend of sinners, like you and I are. He immediately corrects Himself. And this is what He says. He says, yea, they may forget. They may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. He said it's entirely possible. It's possible that mother who brought that baby into this world, who is part of her, she may forget. And she may forsake that suckling child. But He says, yet will I not forget thee. A lot of hope there, aren't you? A lot of comfort. I won't forget you. I won't forget you. Regardless of what happens from here on in, regardless, says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand, and the walls are continually before me. It was a custom, maybe still is in some places, for people to put a string on their finger to remind them of something important to them, something they must do or not do. So they put something on their fingers to remind them of that. That's what He alludes to here in this 16th verse. He said, behold, I've graven thee, I put your name on the palms of my hand. And He said, the walls, this hand, the walls of this hand are before my eyes and before my ears always. Your mama might forsake you. Your daddy might forsake you. They might forget you. But he said, yet. That's possible, he said. Yet will I not forget thee. Father of love. Friend of sinners. The true and the living God. What he says forever. Make no mistake about it. Every word that cometh forth from the Father's mouth is true. Every promise of the Father, He'll make good on every one of them. In spite of our anxieties and our fears and our worries, in spite of our sins, He'll make good on every one of His promises. Your mama might forget you. She might forsake you. She might sell you. She might give you away. She might put you up for adoption. You may never hear of her again. She might do that. Yeah, she might forget. But I won't forget. I wrote your name right down there. I wrote it right down the palms of my hand, and there before my eyes and before my ears continually. Think of that. All the sheep of God. All these poor sinners that have no hope but hope in Him. They're before Him. Men maybe not care much about you. Your mother may not care much about you. Even your father may not care much about you. You may not have no friends, but you've got a friend who is the friend of sinners. And your name is engraved in the palms of His hands, and His eye is upon you, and His ears are open to you, and He's going to protect you and keep you unto the end and present you unto the Father, spotless, without fault, and without blemish. Oh, what a picture. Is it possible? It's possible, but it's not possible for the Lord to forget you. No, sir. When He says this, yea, I will not forget you. When He talks about the palms of His hands, it is, if He had said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have saved thee with an everlasting salvation. I have called thee by my grace. I have made thee to know thy poverty and thy vileness, thy hopelessness and thy helplessness. I have made thee to know that you cannot be saved. You cannot be rescued. You cannot be delivered by anything that you do or say or think. You cannot gain favor with me by your works. He hath made us to know that. And in making us to know that which is true, He says, shall I be unmindful of your distresses and your trials and your troubles? Will I be unmindful of them? Shall I be deaf to your cry? Shall I stop my ears when you cry unto me? Shall I do that? Shall I be unwilling to relieve you of your distresses, your needs, and your is this tender baby that we talked about, is it part of its mother? Yes, it is. Well, remember that we are members of His body. We are members of Christ's body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Look at this verse here with me in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what it says. This 19th verse. He says here that we are, wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God. Submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are one with Him, one with His body. Just as that baby is part of its mother, we're part of Christ. Members of His body, of His flesh, and His. You see, in pain and in sorrow did this mother bring forth that baby. Labor pains and in sorrow she brought forth this baby. Oh, what agonies and sufferings and pains did it cost our Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us. He suffered, was despised, and rejected of men. He left His glory, the glory of the Father. He left heaven and come down upon this earth and became a man and joined Himself our humanity. And as a man, from the manger to the cross, from the cross to the crown, all He did for us. Our substitute, all that God required, this dear man, a man called Jesus, became our representative. All that God required of us, our Lord Jesus Christ did perfectly. Every sigh, every groan, every thought, every step, every tear was all for His people, so that He could make atonement for His people, so He could present us faultless before the throne. What sorrow and pain. He knew nothing but pain and anxieties and sorrow while He was in this life. As a man, He came unto His own, but His own said, "We won't have you. We don't want you. We don't want you." He came to this world cast Him out. Didn't even have a place. Didn't even have any shelter for His head to keep the rain off of Him. He said, "Birds have nests, foxes have holes." But He said, "The Son of Man got nowhere to lay His head." All of that He endured without the least murmur. Never murmured, never complained, never questioned. Submitted Himself to all this shame and grief in order that He might work a perfect righteousness for you and I that will entitle us to all the blessings of heaven and all the blessings of God. What agony and what suffering that He experienced to bring forth this salvation that we experience and enjoy. just as that woman suffered these labor pains in bringing forth this child. And this child, who was the darling of her bosom, son of her womb, but yet there come a time that she forsook him. She forgot him. But he said, I'm not like that. I'll never forsake you. Yea, I'll never forget you. And I'll never forsake you. Come thick or thin, hell or high water, he said, I'll never forsake you. Now that will be a comfort to you. He'll never forsake you. He won't do it. God will not go back on His Word. What He says forever. That'll never change. He'll never forsake us. He so emphasizes that through the Lord Jesus, who said, I go away. He said, I'm not going to leave you as if you had no father. I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. You have no father to depend upon. No, He said, He'll lead you and guide you in all truth. But He said, don't despair. If I go, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you might be forever and forever and forever. I say, that's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you? What makes it so good? It's all free. That's what makes it. It's a free gift. The salvation of God is a free gift. But man, by nature, is so sinful. He's so sinful. He despises the gift. He despises the gift. I read a verse here. I don't know whether I can remember where it's at or not. Over in the book of Hebrews, I believe. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 16, he says. He said that the Holy Spirit is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, with His people, after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Then in the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, he said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that something? Well, that ought to be a comfort to you. Comfort, help to me, I'll tell you that. Help to me. He ain't going to forsake. I may feel like He's forsaken me. I may feel like He's forgotten me. But He hadn't. I may forget Him, but He'll never forget me. Woman might forget you. Your mother might forget you. God won't. You can count on that. That's one thing you can be sure of. God will never leave you nor forsake you if you're in Him. If you're in Christ, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Through thick or thin, hell or high water, He'll be with you. Psalmist said he'd go down into the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, Thou art with me. Thy rod, Thy staff, to comfort me. Be with us. We're a special people. We're a privileged people. How many people in this world? 8-10 billion people? Or more, I don't know how many. How many of them in this world can say with confidence, He's with me. God's with me. He won't forsake me. He won't forget me. When I go down into the valley of the shadow of death, He'll be with me. He's my rod, my staff to comfort me. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. Spatial, peculiar, and a particular people. The people of God. Well, if you didn't have this, what would you have? You'd just be like this frantic, unmindful, that runs hither and thither, seeking this and seeking that, having no place to put their feet as a place of security. But the believer has God's Christ. We got Him. Who, as much as told us as if He was standing here in His fleshly body, He said, your mother might forsake you, it's possible, yet I will not. It won't do it. When you're laying there in the hospital, on your sick bed at home, and the sweat of death is on your brow. Though there may not be any hope whatsoever for those around you, yet in your heart and soul, you've got a good hope because it's built and founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to take that last breath, in your mind, you say, here it is. I'm ready to leap out. I'm going out. But I know that He's with me. I'm so. He'll not forsake us.